Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. Dungeons & Junkies presents Escape from Ulfa, Episode 15, Aquarium Blowout. Last time on Escape from Ulfa, our gang found themselves embroiled in a massive battle in a desolate aquarium, having found not only the Pam doppelganger, but the four Asimar that they were charged with finding. Unfortunately, the Asimar are without their heads, and the Tamnator itself seems set on killing our party. And also, the four Asimar are not playing nice either. Will the party be able to handle these five opponents, or will the Tamnator and their following destroy the gang? Let's find out on this week's Escape from Ulfam. Okay, well, with the end of Cal's turn, that means we move on to LB. LB, what you got?
Well, I'm falling.
You are falling. Is there anything you would like to...
I'm sure there's a song in there somewhere. Well...
LB, from where you're falling, I will give you one chance right now at disadvantage. Just flat D20s. Gotta roll two of them. If either of those die... Actually, hold on. I'll say it this way. If combined on those die, you have at least a 37, I will say by yourself, you catch the edge of the pool and will need no assistance and will stop falling. You will take a D8 of damage, as you're probably going to separate your shoulders from the momentum, but you will stop falling. Just got to get a 38 on two D8s or two D20s together.
Well, not disadvantage, no?
No, just got to roll those two D20s. You're not adding anything to it, though, so it's just the numbers on the dice added together.
Trust the devil!
It's tempting. I'm also thinking that I have a backup plan for the feedback effect. I'm also thinking, can I actually hit anything with a spell on the way down at all? I think I'm going to have to take that option. Because I can't fireball anything from here because everyone fired one of them.
You do your best Thor impression on the way down.
Can I cast a spell as I'm trying to, as I'm hanging or not? If I do succeed or not.
Once you're hanging, we'll talk about it.
Okay. Well, if I assuming that this is going to happen.
Roll two ones.
Right, the first one's a crit 20. So I've got a one. I've got a 2 in 20 chance here.
Is that a one, Matt?
I haven't rolled yet. Hang on.
Oh, okay. Hurry up.
18.
Might be.
An 18. That's a 38. That's enough.
Who are you?
I said.
Who are you and what have you done with Matt?
My dice are rolling. I'm going to roll for attack here and it won't work.
I'm just saying, Tam may be the one with the doppelganger, but I think Matt's genuinely been replaced.
No, I guess.
LB, okay. In an act of bravery and also partial stupidity, turns as he begins to fall and goes full on skydiver and kind of in that last little second and reaches up as he's about to go past the ledge, grabs on with both of his hands, and as his body snaps and he holds on, you can feel tendons in both of your shoulders tear as you take 7 points of damage. But you are now held onto the side. And I will allow you to cast a spell if you want. No bonus action, but I will allow a spell.
Okay.
As you that, but that will also leave you hanging on the edge of this.
Well, before I cast a spell, then I want to know bearings. Who's near me? What have I got?
Right now, where you fell. Here, I'm gonna send everyone a picture of where I have everything on the battle map currently. How about that?
I'm just hanging out right now. Boy, this hurts a lot. Actually, this hurts a lot more since I found it. It's aching all the time.
I'm just saying, you're reenacting Lion King right now.
Yeah, actually, pretty much am. Got a lot,
Live the King.
Says Scar.
Tambot will just appear and be like, long live the king, I mean Vicious.
I fuck Tambot so much.
Not really my type, honestly.
That thing is getting killed.
Caitlin, shut up, you know what I meant, more than anyone. And I know you're memeing at me.
There you go, it's in the Twitter chat. You can see, Matt, you are hanging pretty close to Cal, actually.
Like, oh, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
So, see, he wasn't aware that Matt might be aware that I had Featherfall, but LB wouldn't be aware I had Featherfall.
Correct. So, A3 and Forest are flying around above me now?
They're still flying up above you. Yeah, they're now, they're exactly 40 feet above you as
How far apart?
Basically directly below them.
How far apart?
They're all right next to each other.
Fireball!
Alright, roll the hit.
No, it's dexterity saving throws.
Oh. Alright, and you hit all three of them?
If they're in range.
They are all in range.
What am I trying to beat there?
You got a dexterity of 15.
That is two passes and a fail.
Okay, so two passes will take half damage.
Right.
Okay, so it's 8d6. Okay, so... Right, so I'll go along.
For the benefit of the tape, I thought he said fire bolt. First, not fireball. That's why I asked if you could hit all three of them, and I was confused.
Okay. That is 38 points of damage, but halved to 19 for two that passed. And they are ablaze. First time I've used fireball properly. And I've basically fired that out of my hammer while I'm hanging with the other, arm.
Whew. Yeah, LB in a pretty badass act catches onto the side of the wall, almost ripping both of his shoulders out of the sockets, but in grasping on and really resolutely holding on, reaches to his back, pulls out the warhammer and stares directly above him before whoosh, launching a massive fireball directly up into the air. And you all see boom, just a massive explosion of fire across the glass ceiling as these Asimar are all engulfed in flame for a moment. You can see that the flapping of their wings quickly puts all of the fire out on all of them as they have to flap quite quickly to maintain their altitude. But they are looking singed for sure.
LB sort of looks at Damien for approval.
I gotta be real.
Damien doesn't care.
I gotta be real in thinking that massive airflow would not put fire out, but I'm not gonna go hard on that.
Technically, added air like that would probably decrease the flow of fire, wouldn't it?
This is the point I was making, but I also don't want to derail this even more.
Hold on. The flapping of the bird's wings is different than just a normal airflow, as the air wing actually creates a small vacuum of air about it, whatnot, and as it pushes the air, it would actually put out fire as it sucks in the oxygen and then pushes it out in a different way. It's not just like a fan. It's not a consistent action of air just being pushed onto the fire. It is the sucking and pulling of air of the wings pulling and pushing the air about.
Okay, so create the vacuum.
I can say from experience that I don't know how it affects fire, but I can say that the vacuum thing is actually correct from experience.
Mm-hmm. Worth a try on my part.
Basically,
no,
Chad's
right. There's not enough fuel to counteract that, so.
Yeah, exactly. And the fire needs oxygen to burn, so once it hits the point where there's not enough oxygen, no more fire.
Can't blame a drag queen for trying.
Once again, how do we always get on science conversations? Between drag queen science conversations and swearing at each other, you get all types here in Dungeons & Junkies. Okay, back to the non-burning Asimar, as we're at the end of the round, and A3 and A4 are about to act, and they act together, because they're kind of like a twin tag team. Think of the Ginyu Squad. Ha! As these two Asimar kind of spin up into the air into a vortex before they turn and dive bomb straight down. And LB, I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw at disadvantage. And I am going to tell you now, you need a 19 or a 20 to pass this.
I can't pass that check.
Oh, I'm saying a roll.
I can't pass that roll.
You can't roll on a dice, a 19 or a 20? Do you have only a D18?
Negative dex.
I know he does. He's also, I'm going to be really nice to you because you just completely forgot about it. I gave you a set of boots way back when.
No, I'm not wearing them.
Oh, you don't have your boots. You're right.
So. Armor.
But you changed out your boots.
Yeah, you changed out your boots.
I'm in the full thing of heels. I haven't got my Mitty set boots.
Yeah, he doesn't. But he has forgotten to use them multiple times.
I have.
Hang on, let me double check my inventory. Check, I have forgotten.
Matt, if you get an 18 or a 9 or a 19 or a 20 on the dice, I'm saying I will let you pass the save.
At disadvantage.
Yes.
Just roll it already.
Okay, well, it's gonna go badly now because that was a 20, so he's gonna fail. 8 -1.
Matt, these twisting Asimar grab onto your shoulders and rip you from this barrier. And with speed, as you're kind of scraped against this wall, they boom, slam you into the ground at full speed. And you will take 16 points of bludgeoning damage as you are slammed into the ground and are now laying prone
on
the floor.
That is fatal.
LB is knocked from the realm of the living at the second as boom, he is slammed into the ground by these twisting, dive-bombing Asimar.
That's save time.
You see some rubble actually fly up with the slam down, with the force that they hit. But yes.
Is there any way that
I'm in death save time now.
Is there any way that anyone can help with this?
They're not dead. They have to do saving.
Look, I've never encountered death saves before. I'm asking.
They have a chance.
Get excited, because you're about to.
Yeah.
I can pretend.
So, I'm at the bottom of the pit.
You are at the bottom of the pit. Actually, you're within probably about 15 feet. Tam, you see all of this happen.
Of course.
But you, the Asimar A1 is still in between you and now the body of LB. But with that, we go back to the top of the initiative order and we're back to A1. And this Asimar turns and from its belt pulls a large saber as it points it towards Tam and immediately just charges and takes two massive swings with its saber. And let's see.
Screw you, I'm pouring my drink.
Tam, in just still just disoriented from being pile driven on the ground, manages though to roll out of the way of these two slashing blows from this sword, as this Asimar completely misses both strikes with its sword. And it just stands now over still the prone Tam, but misses both of its strikes and ends its turn. Damien, that brings us to you.
Right, three-part thing right here.
Okay.
First off, I'm going to cast Misty Step at a higher level so I can get off this rock and be next to the console.
Okay. So.
Because that way I'm not on this dangerous platform anymore.
Yeah, and it puts you down on the ground floor with the three Asimar, Tam, and the body of LB. Okay, so Damien just...
I think I could help LB, but I'll probably do that another time. Like, he has time to get to that point. He doesn't need me right now. The console's still active, you said.
You definitely, as you reappear in front of the console, you can see that there are lights and such still flashing all over it. There is a consistent amount of sparks coming out of where the harpoon made impact and pierced the middle of it.
I'd basically like to kind of put both my hands on, like, above the hole that the harpoon gun's made, because it's kind of cracked around it, and just direct Eldritch Blast both beams into it to try and completely fry it.
Cool. I won't make you even roll for that, because with the crack, your damage threshold is much lower. Damien puts their hands right above the crack, and you see the black lightning beam course over the top floor. And you see the top part of the console just completely fade away and eradicate as, like, it looks like a laser has just pierced perfectly through the top little part. And now you see all the lights begin to turn down on the console as you see that the console just begins to fade. Tam and Damien, I need you both to make me a perception check right here.
Okay, let me grab my dice back out.
Question, if Damien destroyed the console, would that free the harpoon gun? Like the harpoon, no.
The harpoon isn't freed, as it's still, like, the top half of the harpoon is, like, now free, okay, as there's nothing holding the top half in, but there's still the bottom part of where it's so it'd be much easier to reel in, I guess, the best way to put it.
I fried the circuitry, not the hardware.
There you go. We only fried part of the hardware.
Sorry,
okay.
What am I rolling?
Perception check, please.
Thank you. Sorry, my memory is shit.
26.
19.
My dice won't work.
Damien and Tam. Tam, you see this out of your right eye, the right side of peripheral vision, and Damien, you just get this odd sensation in your, like, the hairs in the back of your neck stand up as you turn around. You both turn and you look, and you can see that the whole wall behind you is made of the glass. This is the viewing for the underground area that you're looking into. But as you look through the glass, you can see as that council completely shuts down. The other side of the glass, you begin to see all sorts of red lights begin to turn on the other side of this glass wall. And you can just see them flashing on everywhere in this area. And then as you look, you suddenly start seeing them. They begin to flash up all around you on the walls of this pool as well.
Well, I'm terrified.
But that's all you see with that. And with that, the council crashes and completely shuts down. You see the tower to the right that was flashing the blue light. It actually gets much brighter as it's... And you can hear, like, it's now, like, working on overdrive. gets very loud, Damien. But all right, Damien, you still have something you'd like to do, or?
I still have a bonus action, so.
That's what I thought.
I'm gonna be nice. No, madness. But the benefit of Julius is if I. Well, one of the many benefits, apart from him being a very good boy, is that if I cast a spell that requires touch, Julius can do it. Like, it transfers through him. So as long as he's touching it, the spell counts. And Julius is on the rock quite close to where LB face planted into the rubble.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cast Spare the Dying and have Julius land on LB. So you don't... You have... Like, you become stable, so you're not doing death throws. You don't have any health, but you're stable. You're not
going
to die for a while.
I can live with... Well, I can not die with that. Thank you.
Yeah, the bird literally comes over and just pokes you on the nose. Like, wake up.
Yes, that just happens. Julius flies over, lands, and with a very dispassionate peck, pecks at the face of LB real quickly, and you can see a little bit of kind of life energy flow over him as LB lays there, now stable, but still down and unconscious.
Yeah, that's my go in Julius's as well. That's his movement.
Fantastic. All right, with that, we then go back to another Asimar, A2, still flying far up in the air after being hit with the fireball. Its right wing just very singed and burned at this point, looking not good at all. It kind of flaps there for a minute, and you see the gem on its chest. The blue light actually intensifies by at least tenfold as you see it. And this Asimar, as it flies, dives straight down. And it will... Cal, I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
Hey. That's only a 15.
In your back, a shoulder rips into you as two arms wrap around you, and you are flown into the air. And you can feel heat coming off of, like, from the swell of your back where your chest is touching this gem. Yasmar holds you in the air before dive bombing straight down. And I, at this moment, will need Damien, Tam, and two other Asimar all to make me dexterity saving throws.
Something tells me this is going to hurt.
That's a 5. I knew my dice would betray me today.
Let me check my... modifiers. Oh, that's an 11.
Okay.
Oh no.
We're all dead. Dice stone you all. Bye.
I've been preparing for this for like an hour. I'm not happy, but I have.
Yeah, Samar. Holding Cal. Cal, you're staring straight down as you are being propelled towards the ground. But from your back, this heat suddenly becomes immense as the blue explosion rockets from inside this Asimar as you, Cal, are exploded completely, taking 20 points of fire damage. Damien and Tam, you also will take the 20 points of fire damage.
Hang
LB,
on a sec.
You are no longer stable.
Yeah, I'm dead.
And you have one death save fail. already.
Yeah, I'm dead.
You're in dying state as well.
No.
Question for the DM, sorry. So, just to clarify, if someone is hit whilst they're on zero HP, that does count as one fail.
One fail. Unless it's a critical hit, and then it's two.
Can I ask a question?
No.
Let's just confirm something. Basically, when you said I was taking 20 damage, I was on 20 HP. Now, D&D Beyond says I am now on death saves.
Yep.
Yes.
Correct.
Shit.
All right. Yes.
The only way it would outright kill you is if you got to negative what your hit points are.
I have no idea how death saves work, but I guess that I can wait.
Yeah, you will find out. And just,
I don't want Tam to die!
I'm very glad I got some health back early, otherwise I'd be down too.
Just doing a little bookkeeping, sorry.
Murdered everyone, smiley face.
Okay, then. So that thing about, so if the damage exceeds the person's maximum hit points, is that like insta-death? If they're down?
Yeah.
I was reading all this, and I didn't know if it was true, and I'm just going to write it down for future reference.
It's basically, you get hurt so badly that there is no way you could recover from it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Like, insta-kills do exist.
You haven't killed any of these things
this
yet,
this is,
have
like,
we?
The first time we've reached death saves, isn't it?
Yep.
Second, because Cal hit.
Yeah, second time I put someone there, but I didn't actually make Cal make the death saving throws. But fun fact, Tam, guess what? You get to learn all about the death saving throws because it is your turn. Oh, right. Death saving throws work as follows. You will roll.
I hate you so much.
That's two fails for insulting the DM twice.
Could not care less.
A d20 without adding anything. Anything 11 or above is a success, or 10 or above is a success. Anything 9 or below is a fail.
Give me a sec to find my d20.
If you get a 20, it is two successes. However, if you get a 1, it is two fails.
All right. Would you give me just a minute because I've never done this before?
Just gotta roll a d20.
Yeah.
You are ready whenever you are.
I'm terrified. Is my point.
Suck yourself out.
You haven't got any fails yet, so there's no way you will
Shut
die
up.
From this throw.
Shut up! I gotta.
Stop screaming at everyone and just roll. Oh, I see how it is.
I'm running next, never mind you. That's a 17.
That is one success. You can put one success into your death saves.
Ah, okay, that's how that works.
Yeah.
Is that all I can do now?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
And we move on from the body of Tam lying there. We move on to Tam 2. Standing up on the barrier right next to Cal, who still has
I'm on the ground now.
Oh, yeah, you're dead. Sorry, I forgot to erase that. You're down there.
Yeah, not quite dead, but I'm on the ground.
Perfect. Tam 2 standing on the barrier, still up there, turns and looks, stares directly at Virion, who is still up there with them, and charges directly towards Virion.
Have I got time to use shield? Put up shield.
Definitely can. You can definitely add 5 to your AC.
It's probably going to do Nathal, but I might as well try.
Tam 2.
Ting, ting, ting.
Just slashing at as Virion holds their hand up with the ring of shielding, and the gold just encompasses over his.
Ching.
Tam cannot get through this barrier. And just, once again though, still completely emotionless now, just stares directly at Virion and just stands there waiting. But that will take us to Virion. What would you like to do?
Scream? I'm desperately trying to see if I actually have anything that would work. What can I do? What can I do?
I know Eric was sort of joking, but chill touch surely would work on an android.
Would it though?
Computers don't like getting cold.
Fun fact, I actually don't have chill touch.
Alec, you lie!
I didn't say they had chill touch.
I know what I want to use, but it's completely pointless because they take half damage and their dex is through the roof anyway, probably. Which would make it quarter damage if they succeeded. The event for it would be pointless using it. Ah, shit. Can I hold my turn for a minute? Because I'm just, like, desperately scanning this list for something.
Yeah, definitely. You can definitely hold your turn.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then we will move on to Cal. You land on the ground in a prone position, singed and a little on fire after being taken by a suicidal Asimar. But you are now lying prone on the ground. What would you like to do?
One thing I want to check. Is that Asimar dead? He sort of went boom.
Yep. So Asimar 2 is completely dead and off the board. Okay. And I will tell you that all three of the other Asimar were, in fact, hit with this explosion and all took full damage from it. So you can see this whole area now down here looks like a bit of a war scene, as there is now rubble and such cast about from this explosion.
Right, okay. The other thing I'm going to ask, can I be, if the DM is kind, if I used both my hands, could I cast Cure Wounds on two people? If I used a hand on each person? Because technically it is a full action to cast it, and it's touch.
It's an interesting conundrum, because you think you could touch both Damien and LB at the same time, I'm guessing?
No, I was going to say me and Damien.
Ah. You know what? I'll allow it here.
Yes!
I'm in a good mood. You can roll and see how much health both you and Damien get back.
Only because Damien's reaction would be, don't touch me!
I pray one day I was like, I'm gonna touch you as my hands stop to glow.
Ah!
I'm going to do this at third level, so it's 3d8. Caitlin, do mass on me, please. 6. 6. 6.
18. Come
plus
on.
5.
23.
23, so we both get 23 HP back.
Aha, squishing warlock.
And can I use a bonus action, or was that my full action?
That's your full action. I already let you cure both you.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to say that cost everything.
I will say points to Alex for trying to get a third action out of that.
Yeah,
that was more benevolent than I am when it comes to this kind of thing.
I'm like, no.
It was worth a try. I was just going to hand out Bardic Inspiration again, but that's fair enough. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome. All right, well, with that means Cal's turn is over. We move to the downed LB. LB in death saves with already one fail. What you got, Matt?
11.
Well, that's a success by the skinny old teeth. Cool. We then move on to our final two combatants, the twin Asimars who act together. You can see they like flex their muscles as like they're kind of, you know, shake off the char from their suicidal brethren. And both of them are going to turn to Cal and Damien. And both are going to pull out their swords and they are going to make their multi-attack on both of you. So both of them get two swings with their swords. So I'm going to roll all of those. That's the weirdest thing ever. I rolled 4 die right there. I rolled for each of them. One of them both got a 2, and one of them both got a 17. So one die is hitting for both of them. And that is a D.
My HP that I just got.
The Asimar twin attackers producing their swords and driving straight towards you. The first strike misses as both Cal and Damien, in a weird sort of like ballet, both dodge perfectly together and see each other do this, and it's very awkward for a second, which is what causes them both then to take the second slash across the chest. As Damien, you will take 10 points of slashing damage, and Cal, you will take 13 points of slashing damage.
Yay, fun!
Damn. When can I jump in and take my turn again, sorry?
You can definitely jump in right now and take your turn.
Is Tam 2 made of metal?
I don't know.
Okay, in any case, I'm going to cast Shatter, and because I'm a warlock, it's third level, which is a constitution saving throw, and creatures made of inorganic materials such as stone, crystal, or metal have advantage on this, disadvantage on this throw.
Okay. I will definitely say Tam is definitely made of some inorganic material. So they will roll this at disadvantage. Constitution, you say? And what am I trying to do?
A 16.
Ooh, look at that. Was a disadvantage. That will be full damage.
Okay, because I'm doing it at third level. That's 48.
Ooh, spicy.
Nice. I got... 1 minute. Let me do some quick math. Right, I've got 8, 8, 6, and 5.
27.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
What kind of damage
is that again? Thunder damage.
That's not okay. Virion, standing there, finally taking their turn and staring directly at it. Very resolute in the fact, just stares and as the like whole body of Tam 2 begins to shake a little bit, and you can see the skin like swirl. Any place isn't covered with cloth, and it just kind of turns its head a little bit like a dog does at the very end as it stops shaking before still emotionless, just turning and just staring still directly at you, still looking very normal.
Look, Taran, I did a spell. Oh wow, fuck you too.
Tiny Terran's a very angry and surly gentleman.
I don't blame him.
After the twin Asimars attack tries, you know, goes mildly well, we move into the next round and we go back to the Asimar number one, basically their quasi leader, as he stands over the body of the fallen Tam and also basically over the body of the fallen LB. And you see it stand there and the orb on its chest. Woom, woom, woom. It turns to an odd purple. You haven't seen this color before. Woom, woom, woom. You see, like, purple energy begin to spread throughout this Asimar's body. It flaps its wings and flies directly up. Virion, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw as this purple flashing Asimar is going to dive bomb directly at you with both of its fists directly out.
You have Bardic Inspiration. I don't know if you've used it yet.
Yeah, I've used that.
Alright, okay.
I'm going to use the Thief Patron Feat Dark Consult to roll an extra 1d10 on this.
Nice.
Okay, that is a 14 plus 9.
23.
Very nice.
Virion, you duck quickly under as this Asimar flies directly over you and crashes into the wall. Like, it flies by you at top speed and punches a hole directly through the wall behind you. And it is now on the ground level about, 20 feet behind you.
Okay,
but that will end its turn, and it's still, you can still see like glowing purple light like coursing through all of its veins. Okay, it is Damien's turn. But before Damien can go, a legendary action is going to occur as Tam 2, standing still in front of Virion, stares at Virion for a second and does a complete backflip perfectly away from you. If you'd like, you can take an opportunity attack.
Can I stab at it with my trident, which I keep forgetting I've actually got?
You 100% can stab at it with your trident.
Do I have to roll to hit, or?
Yep.
How? Virion, how long have you had a trident?
I've literally had this since
they used it in the maze way back when.
Yeah, I know.
Not the maze, the cube.
It seemed majestic, which is why I wanted it.
The skeleton got stuck on it. It was like a giant fort.
It is majestic. I thought you traded it in or something.
That is a dirty 20. That's so 16 plus 4, apparently.
That hits. Roll for damage.
Cool. It's not the biggest, bulkiest weapon. That's a 6.
And that's piercing damage, right?
Yeah, it's 1d6. I got 6.
And that's plus your strength modifier, then.
Varying strength is flat.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Tam 2 backflips, you catch it like with a grazing shot, and you can see that this cloak, you actually rip it as it's doing the backflip, and your trident goes straight down the back and actually rips completely along the seam of the cloak that Tam 2 was wearing, and only causes 3 damage. But as the flip is occurring, you can see beneath the green of the cloak, and you see the actual skin of Tam 2, and it is a gunmetal black, is what you see as it flips away and lands right in the middle of the main walkway, standing there and staring at it. It's gonna turn its head and it's gonna stare at the tower that is now Damien, and make me another, Damien and Cal actually now make me perception checks.
What is my perception? Got bards are proficient in fucking everything.
Oh no,
17.
22.
As you feel the energy from the tower that's pretty close behind you, it's about 15 feet behind you, and you can hear it. It ramps up even louder. It sounds like a herd of animals is now behind you with how much energy, light, and noise this giant tower is putting off. All the red lights that you saw before begin to blink.
Beep, 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 beep.
And you can see them everywhere. They have continued to pop up this whole time, everywhere around you in this room. But with that, T2 is going to just stay there. And we now go to Damien.
Here's the thing where me being a player and my understanding of my character clash majorly. Because I know exactly what Damien would do right now. But it doesn't really fit D&D and a party dynamic.
Is it along the lines of LMAO bye?
Yeah, it's on the lines of LMAO bye.
Yeah, I feel like Damien's not the kind of person who would help now.
Damien wanted help, but then LB got murdered again.
I mean, I want Damien to help, but I, you know, do what feels right.
Okay, there's 3 Asimar left.
There are, yep, then 2 of them are directly down by you. The other Asimar has made its way. It's up far away from you at this point. It's up on the main floor with Tam 2 and Virion. Yep, down where you are currently is yourself, Cal, Asimar 3, Asimar 4, and the downed bodies of LB and Tam.
I'm gonna hate myself for this, but... Okay. 2-part. What again? I'm gonna have Julius come to me.
Okay.
And I'm gonna merge with him again.
All right.
And like I'm in a pit thing, aren't I?
Yeah, you're down at the bottom. You're at the floor level, so you're 80 feet down from like where you guys started. It's an 80-foot deep pool.
The big tower thing that I'm right next to.
Yeah.
Is there any mechanism or cables or anything or pipes?
Oh, you can make an investigation check on it if you'd like.
Yeah, whilst Damien's not whilst Damien, whilst Julius is coming to me. Oh, 19.
Damien, you turn to fully try and take in everything you can about this tower. As you stare at it, it is very foreign to you. It is like nothing you've ever seen before. And that's even with saying the things you've seen in Wolfham. This is the best way to put it. It almost seems extraterrestrial. This does not belong in any world that you've ever experienced in your life. As you look at it, it is glowing colors that you don't really understand. And you don't know if there's an off switch. You can see that there's nothing. This isn't connected to anything besides itself and the four tables that are in front of it. There are cords that run to those, but there is nothing seemingly else this tower is plugged into.
Okay,
because
look. I don't have ears, so I can't do that. They probably can't. I'm just going to assume they're immune to that. I hate you, Chaz.
Don't worry, I hate myself too.
I'm moved. No, I'm literally gonna misty step 30 feet in the air, merge with my raven and GTFO. No other character I have would ever do this, but Damien knows Virion can get out alive and he can't save you all.
Awesome. So you're going to fly up and I'm assuming head towards the entrance tunnel?
Yeah, I'd kind of take a skirting route.
Okay. And what's your movement when you are in bird form?
Julius's movement is 50 foot, so I'd be out of the pit, but not near the entrance, I think, yeah.
Okay.
Because I went 30 feet up.
Perfect. All right. Awesome. That'll be Damien's. That takes us back to Tam. Tam, time for your second death save.
So I'm just rolling d20 again.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, I didn't know you were asking. I thought you were just saying you were rolling a d20. My fault.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were asking.
I've never done this before.
Yep. No, you're just roll d20 again.
Sorry, that's a 3.
That is a fail. Tam, as you lie on the ground, you're still able to see around you in some form or fashion. You're not gone. You just can't move. You can feel life. You're clinging barely on. And as you start feeling it slip a little bit and your eyes close for a second, and for a moment, you fleetingly glance your past death when you were killed by being far too brazen, when you know you shouldn't have challenged that creature. You know you weren't ready for it, but you fuck it, did it anyways. Because I'm Tam Elm and I'm ready. And you see this creature standing in front of you over your body as you kind of come back into the world where you are as you lie bleeding on the ground. But we will move on to Tam 2, who stands at the top of the walkway looking down on all of you, seeing the flying raven now coming towards them. No expression crosses Tam 2's face once again. But the eyes, they turn the same purple that the other Asimar is glowing. And suddenly, you see that Asimar along the wall turn around and grabs the shoulders of Tam 2 before flying straight through and smashing through the glass ceiling as glass begins to rain down from the roof and rain begins coming down. And this Asimar takes Tam 2 and flies into the night sky. Okay. But now we go to Virion. What would you like to do? You are now alone up on the walkway by yourself. Both Tam 2 and A1 have disappeared through the roof, and all of your comrades are down on the floor, plus the remaining two Asimar.
So Tam 2 is completely gone.
Correct.
Can I see what's going down in the pit? Like, it looks like everything's just about to go.
You've seen basically everything down in the pit. You're right. You've been right on the railing the whole time. So you've clocked everything that's gone on down there.
Okay. I think I get the plan people are going for now. But Virion would absolutely... I mean, Virion's not, like, the pinnacle of self-confidence as it is. But I think if he tried running, that would make it worse. But all the same, can I get past that having to attack it? The one that's behind me.
That one's gone. That's the one that grabbed Tam and flew off through the roof.
And there's no way I could get down and grab LB or Tam and get out again, is there?
It is an 80-foot down pit, so I don't know if you have Featherfall or anything.
I don't.
And the ladder is where those X's are.
Sorry, I'm milking this a bit.
I would allow you, from where you are on my map, if you use all of your action, you could get to the ladder, get down the ladder, and get to where Tam is down on the ground.
I do have Featherfall. If I was to see Varian jump.
Oh, that's true.
I feel like this is not the brightest idea Varian ever had. But he's also not strong enough to carry a comatose person. His strength is completely flat. Has Cal got any strength in him?
Absolutely flat. This is when I could have done with my barbarian.
I'm probably wasting time doing this.
If you can cure, then I can help with that.
I'm a warlock. I can't do anything like that. Is Damien and Julius just completely gone now?
The bird's still there because this is all occurring at once. So you've seen, though, Damien turn and merge with Julius and clearly is making a beeline to get the fuck out of here.
Because I think if you can help Tam, then Tam can help me.
I have nothing that can help Tam. Mm. Plus, Tam would be way too heavy for Virion to carry. No disrespect, Tam. He's going to hate himself, but I think Varian's going to have to run for it.
Oh. How much do you have in movement?
35 feet.
45?
35.
35? Okay. You can get about halfway up the entrance tunnel, making that turn, so you have begun to make your escape.
In a way, this almost feels like history repeating itself for Varian.
Ouch. With that, we move on to our next combatant, Cal. Cal, what would you like to do? And before you would not have seen Virion run off. You did see Damien merge with Julius, but I don't think you would have seen Virion because of the angles.
Yeah, so I saw Damien fly up in... Well,
you don't know that I'm leaving. You've just seen me fly upwards.
Yeah, true. But I have seen you fly in the direction of the exit.
Also the direction where you last know one of the Asimar were.
And there are still two assets.
You don't know my intentions, is what I'm saying. You can't gauge that. Because I'm a bird.
I'm just trying to think, what can I honestly do? What would Cure Wounds do for death saves? I don't know how that applies.
That will, if you do Cure Wounds on someone, that'll bring them right back. They'll give them their health and they'll bring them back
yeah,
up.
It's a
as long as they're in death saves. Yeah.
All right, I will.
It just can't bring someone back who's failed death saves.
They're both next to each other, aren't they?
They're probably a good 10 feet apart.
Okay, so now you bring one of them back.
I mean, if you bring back one of them, can't they help the other?
I will be nice and tell you that LB has not acted in this round.
Alright, I'm going to use... How much movement would I have left if I use Cure Wounds?
You're gonna have to go by one of the Asimar who is going to take an attack of opportunity on you.
That's fine. What my intention is, because I have a climbing speed, my intention is to cure wounds on LB and then start climbing up the wall to try and get out the ditch, because I have a climbing speed, which if I use feline agility would be 70 feet.
So you're about 5 feet from LB at this moment, so it would take you 5 feet, an opportunity attack. You can use Cure Wounds, because that just happens. I can't stop you. And then you can climb up 70 or 65 feet of wall, if you would like.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that then.
All right, I'm going to take my opportunity attack on you with the ASMR.
I have enough HP that I can take that.
That is a crit 20.
I think I might have enough HP.
that is 19. Slashing damage as the Asimar, as you run by with a whip of its blade, catches you across the side and leg.
Yeah, I'm good. Ish. I'm still in double digits. So, Cure Wounds. I think that's 2 8s. 8, 6 plus 5.
Oh,
22,
27. Yeah, okay, so LB gets 27 hit points back, and I start to climb the wall to try and get out of this ditch, because...
I'm at half health.
I'm not staying in here. I've been using all my fucking slots for healing this match.
I don't know, you know how Shard felt in my justice.
Yeah, welcome to Shard's life.
Bards do more healing than the clerics.
Awesome. Well, that just happens, and LB, you wake up and find yourself laying on the ground.
My shoulder is slotted back into place.
Yeah, slightly.
Yeah.
You just see Cal sort of climbing the wall like a cat.
Okay. I can see Tam, I'm guessing.
Yep, and Tam is 10 feet from you, and you are standing right behind the two Asimar.
Okay, so can I skirt around in a skirt as well? Can I skirt around so I'm not leaving the rate? So I don't incur an attack opportunity, is what I'm saying.
One of them already used their attack of opportunity, so no matter what, you can only take one attack of opportunity here from A4, as A3 already did his attack of opportunity. There's really no way to skirt around and not like leave the area, as Tam is about 10 feet from you to the right. So you're going to have to leave.
Screw it. Let's do it.
Okay. I will take my attack of opportunity. That was a 24, but not a natural 20. So that is 11 points of slashing damage.
I can literally live with that.
As part two of the twin Asimar attacks across your back as you run by them.
Okay. I wince and then get to a halt and then literally plant my hand straight on Tam's chest and I cast level 3 cure wounds.
Awesome.
Level 3 cure wounds.
That is not how you treat a noble lady.
to be fair, at this point... At this point, the drag queen, as it were, the drag dwarf, is just intent on getting her up. So I will cast 3d. It's 3d8 plus 4.
The dragon, if LB asks Tan nicely, she'll give them a piggyback up the ladder.
Hoping that that will help.
I genuinely can't think right now.
26 points of health restored to Tam.
Okay.
Tam.
That's my last level 3 spell.
You feel yourself ripped back into the plane of existence you are in now, and you wake back up with LB weirdly having his hand over on your chest and just in a hellscape that is all of this.
I've got my hammer held because literally I'm channeling the magic in through me to do it. I'm like, we need to go now. I need some help here. Drag me if you have to.
Tam will just nod and, you know, do whatever's needed.
Cool. So, we got a chance to get out really now. I potentially thought Elbing was dead at that point, but could be alright still.
Awesome. Well, with that will, I guess, end your turn then, LB?
Yes. I've still got movement, haven't I?
You probably have, you have 25 movement, so you have another 10.
Okay, am I, provided that Tam doesn't resist, can I drag Tam with me towards the ladder?
Sure, you can drag Tam 10 feet towards the ladder.
Okay.
Cool.
Just so they're a bit closer to it when they begin their turn.
Yeah, so you can see it on the map. I have put you both now at the 60-foot mark on the bottom, but at the top of the mat, like the top of the pool, directly across from the top right X. Okay?
Okay.
That makes sense? You see where you are?
60-foot mark.
You're about 15 feet from the ladder.
Okay, cool.
Okay. With that, though, it is time for the end of the round, and the twin Asimars act on their turn. The two of them with their swords drawn. You see both of the jewels on their chest glowing together. And suddenly you see they turn red. These two Asimar fly into the air for... They turn and they both clamp on to the giant tower that is producing all of the energy. As you see them, red energy cascading through their whole bodies.
This isn't going to go well, is it?
The Asimar grab onto this tower.
Ding, ding, ding.
You all see more and more red lights. They're all flashing. Suddenly, all the lights at once stop flashing and go to a solid red before, for a second, all sound leaves completely. You're all alive. None of you can hear anything. And then, you see, especially you are still on the ground floor, from behind the glass walls, eruptions of blue and black energy begin to shatter out the glass as explosions begin going off everywhere, all around you. Virion, you begin to try and run towards the entrance. As you reach the front door, suddenly an explosion erupts in your face, sending you flying through the air. The last thing you remember seeing is bright blue energy. LB, Tam, you down on the ground floor. Your eyes, you turn to the left, and with no time to react at all, the black energy encompasses both of you as it erupts, shattering the glass in front of you. Damien, you flap as hard as you can. You're flying as this energy almost seems to have a living sense to it as it begins to whip up at you as the explosion grows and quickly encompasses you. Your wings are not quick enough to pull you away. And Cal, the same. You try and climb. You feel the wall, though, in front of you begin to crack and dissipate, and suddenly your claws have nothing to hold on to as you fall backwards into this explosion of terrible energy. And all sound leaves all of you again. With this, we fade away from the explosion. We see a crater where the aquarium used to be, with nothing remaining, a giant hole in the ground. We see the Asimar flapping, holding Tam-2 in the air. As it looks down, we go to Tam-2's eyes, and they focus in on the crater. We see the five bodies of our gang at the bottom of the crater, not moving. We don't know if they're breathing, but they are there with no other remains. As the camera kind of pans in to the eyes of Tam, suddenly pans back and keeps going till we're now looking at a monitor. And we can see a gold hand, mechanical, puts itself down in front of the monitor. Clink, 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 clink. Its metal fingers tap against the desk. Yes. Test one, very successful. It seems we are farther along than I predicted. Soon, my creations. Soon we will rise. As the camera kind of pans to the left, we see 8 large containment tubes, green in color, opaque, unable to be seen through. We pan past those to a large, black, empty, cavernous dark space. We stare at this suddenly. Blue circular lights begin to turn on. Rows and rows and rows of them. As the camera slowly pans over, rows of these circular blue lights turning on. And with that, we fade to black and end this adventure in Escape from Ulfar.
Right, guys. I think of a lot of a little bit shook from that session. Chad, thank you so much for putting us through hell. How about you kick us off first with your spiel for the outro this time, then? Give us a chance to get our head back in the game quickly.
Yes. Hello, all. I'm Chad. Thank you to all of the gang here for putting up with my insanity. And just know that I do, somewhere deep down in this dark black hole of a soul, love you all in some form or fashion. I don't really know what it is, but I'm sure it's there. But yes, I am Chad. You can find me on the Twitter machines at Chad's_mind or at View From Top Rope. You can also listen to me on my podcast, such as The Chatterbox, View From The Top Rope, or So You're So Smart, all conveniently on Visionaries Global Media, which is where you're listening to this podcast. Make sure you listen to all the great podcasts on Visionaries Global Media, because guess what, folks? It's fucking great.
It is, and getting better week by week. Speaking of getting better week by week, Kerry.
Hi, I'm Kerry. I probably should say something, but my brain has just gone, LMU, bye. So I am Shira Beans on Twitter and literally every other platform, because I'm very creative like that. And I also get to supervise the Dungeon Junkies Art Instagram, which will start uploading again very soon as of this recording.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Speaking of art, Hayley.
Well, what up? I'm Ailey. You can find me on pretty much any social media. Space Lady Art or Coppery.
Oh, it's definitely worth for following your art.
It's very late, I'm sorry.
It's all good. It's all good.
Look at my comic. It's Lily Changeling.
Very good comic, it is too. Very, very good. Caitlin.
I'm thinking. This is... My brain is pondering things, because...
Yes.
Out of everyone, Chad and I take very detailed notes. So we're always careful about dropping information in each other's sessions. So my brain is like, I'm going to have a conspiracy board next time you see me. But, yeah. When my mental health isn't in the shit, I write about mental health and video games at themindgame.org. At the moment, it's mainly host to my D&D campaign for this group of maniacs, which is on my own SoundCloud, aka Mind Games again, because branding. I actually hit 100 listens the other day. That was nice. Thank you for that.
Hey, congratulations.
I'm a special bean. My cats are very cute, and they're at CaitlinRC. And I'm going to make all of these people suffer soon. Bye.
Looking forward to it. Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex. Today I played Cow. Will I be playing Cow next time? I don't actually know now that we've got the option. You can find me at Spiderbread UK. You can find our main show at Game Junkies Pod, and you can find this ever-growing collection of madness at Dungeon Junkies. Matt.
Yes, Alex. I'm Matt. If I'm at a Matt Attack UK, I'm still shook as well. That was probably the transition of Dungeon Junkies you ever had. Thank you so much for that, Chad. I'm half a soul. I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And I'm gonna lie down.
Goodbye.
Like LB did for most of that fight.
Charming.
Hey, I saved your one.
This podcast was brought to you by me, Chad, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Matt Attack Productions.